Chapter 24 Dying Light. The warp had come, not as an ephemeral, incorporeal thing, not merely as conjured visions inflicted upon a weary mind, or creeping paranoia, or the glimpse of the uncanny in a poorly lit corridor, or a strange sickness or profound madness. It had reached out with an infernal hand. And it had touched the ship, and everyone aboard. Videa had felt it, as all amongst the crew must have. It resonated in her bones, set her hackles up, her skin hot and perspirant. Dread. That's what had come upon her. That sense of something horrible and inevitable, but without form or tangible evidence of its presence. She had vomited, a violent and prolonged upheaval that had left her gasping and afraid on the cold floor of the reclusium. She knew now that this was the beast, the thing wrought from the stuff of the warp and made corporeal by death and slaughter. It had fallen in the end, dispatched back to the ether by Sicarius's hand. Rumours persisted, even 8 days later, when the facts should have been well established, that Sicarius had fought it alone with only his sword to protect him, that he had vanquished it with a single blow, that Gilliman, or the Emperor himself, had invested him with power and the beast had quailed before it. Videa expected the truth to be uglier, and yet somehow braver than all of that. She had not seen Sicarius since their last session, and as she knelt before the shrine to Elianu Trajan, she glanced up at the many volumes she had committed to his discourse. For 5 years she had chronicled the journey of the Emperor's will. She knew her history, even very, very ancient history, of the order known as Remembrances. They too had been chroniclers, though during a time of great hope and aspiration that had turned to bleak and bitter darkness. She had only ever known darkness, for this was the galaxy they had made for themselves, and now they had to live in it. Or survive it. Ulvo Sharna was dead. This much she had managed to learn. Her end was neither horrific nor worthy of note. She had simply faded, found in her bunk, eyes wide, pale of skin and bereft of life. She had seen it, the beast. She had felt its presence firsthand, and Videa had no doubts, based on her own reaction, that this is what killed the quartermaster. It saddened her. She had liked Ulvo, though she knew little of her life or desires. A quiet woman with a quiet sort of strength. To survive all that she had, when even the Adeptus Astartes had perished almost to a man, it gave Videa a pause in considering the Emperor's benevolence. "Are we all just children, crying at a golden sun for deliverance?" she asked of the shrine. "Except the sun is dead. And we simply don't realise yet, because it is so far away." She bowed her head, chastising herself for such unworthy thoughts, and wrinkling her nose at the scent of cinder still clinging to her nostrils. It was bitter, acrid, like old dying fires reluctant to grow cold. The nightmares persisted too, of fire, of blood, of fell places and dark imaginings. She had slept in the reclusium these past few nights, finding no peace in her quarters, which stood empty and untouched like a tomb. The ship was not much different. The dead were many. Ulvo Sharna had not been the only casualty. Every day the overtaxed armsmen found more deckhands hanging by their necks, or comrades with their skulls shot through and their brains spattered over the wall. Piece by piece, they were eroding, their collective voices quieter and quieter, until the silence finally drowned them. The sodium lamps flickered overhead, reminding Videa of the other crisis, as if they needed another one. Hephaestus had found a temporary solution to the siphoning, as it was being called by some of the crew, but the effect was like placing an ill-fitting bung in a split dam. The water still leaked out. It was almost drained. More decks had been shut off to preserve what little power remained. These places were now the provenance of the dead, left in void frozen passageways and airless chambers to drift and to dream endless dreams. Vedaya shook herself, fighting down maudlin thoughts. She raised her eyes, meeting Trajan's shattered retinal lenses.
"You don't say much," she said, then smiled sadly. "Please forgive me, Lord Chaplain. I have a great need."
She rose to her feet, grunting with the effort. The chain around her neck was heavy. It was heavier than she thought it would be. The lights flickered again, and went out for a few seconds. In the last 8 days they had lost power 17 times. On one of those occasions, the outage had lasted for 6 hours. Madness had seized the ship. Madness and fear. Not all of the interlopers and traitors had been caught, or simply more had turned, desperate and afraid, rabid. A purge had proven difficult, with resources so stretched, and the experience with the ration riots and the cultists who had been lurking in the open, men and women who had turned from the Emperor's light, suggested the problem was ingrained. With tens of thousands of crew, despite the losses, it made excision of this taint almost impossible. The warp would have its way, Vedaya supposed. Only it seemed to coincide with the darkness. As the light came back on, she muttered,
"Ave Imperator."
A gentle knock at her door saw her smoothing down her robes.
"Enter,"
she said, when she had composed herself. An armed escort bowed as they came in, a woman and a man. She was an older woman, her dark hair cut short and with a worn sort of appearance. By contrast, her companion looked young and slightly haunted about the eyes, but there was something about the two of them together that gave Vedaya hope. She couldn't exactly explain why. Perhaps it was because they still looked human under all of the suffering, or that the woman favoured her with a genuine smile.
"At least we have light," said Vedaya. "He's making his address on the hour, ma'am."
"For posterity, is it?"
asked Vedaya, reaching for a leather-bound journal.
"I believe it must be, ma'am. That, or a course of action, has been determined."
"He always was impetuous. Saw things others could never see," said Vedaya, almost to herself. "Like to act on them, too. It garnered him an ill-deserved reputation."
"I would not know, ma'am."
Vedaya snapped out of her reverie.
"I don't recognise you. I'm sorry.
Lieutenant Raider."
She gestured to her comrade.
"Corporal Geraint."
The man nodded to Vedaya.
"What's your first name, Lieutenant?" she asked. "And you too, Corporal."
"Arna, ma'am. Arna Raider."
"Vanko Geraint, ma'am."
"Arna? Vanko?"
She looked at them both in turn.
"Please don't call me ma'am. That is an overly officious title. I am Vedaya."
"As you wish,"
said Raider, though the awkwardness she felt was obvious.
"Vedaya?"
"There are so few of us left, Arna. I think we should at least know each other's first names and take some comfort in that familiarity."
Raider nodded, though it was unclear if she did so because she agreed with the sentiment or because she wanted to move things along. Vedaya didn't see the need to press. They left the reclusium together, Vedaya with her journal under one arm as the young armsman led them out. The lumens were flickering again, the effect strobing and monochromatic.
"I'm not sure I will ever get used to that,"
said Vedaya, gesturing to the overhead strip lamp and tapping out a metronomic walking rhythm with her cane.
"I find it disconcerting." "Do you find it disconcerting, Arna?"
"I do, ma'am."
Vedaya didn't correct her this time. Her gaze went to a knot of grubby deckhands coming the opposite way. The transit corridor was a relatively major thoroughfare of the ship, but recent events had left it almost always deserted. The appearance of the deckhands seemed incongruous then, but not unwelcome. At least it was evidence of life. Again, the lights flickered, stamping out completely for a second or two before juddering and fizzing back.
"Is it the main master hall?" asked Vedaya. "Where Koto is making his speech?"
"I beg your pardon, ma'am,"
Raider replied. The deckhands were fairly close now, talking amongst themselves in low voices, their faces and fingers stained with enginarium grime. Loose smocks overlaid rugged uniforms beneath. Shaved heads showed old cuts and bruises from their heavy manual work.
"Apologies," said Vedaya,
her eye lingering on the lead deckhand, who had not stopped looking at her for a few seconds. Perhaps she looked strange to him, a robed woman with a bone-white arm, the texture of porcelain, and inlaid with gold.
"It's a bad habit. Lord Sicarius, his speech is in the Ultima Hall,"
Rita interjected to be helpful.
"That's correct, ma'am."
Vidaea mused to herself.
Expansive for so few.
Above, the whine of failing power conduits built to a scream. The deckhands, whom Vidaea had not stopped watching, seemed to speed up just as a second group appeared to the rear. She was already moving, reaching for the bolt pistol she kept beneath her robes as Rita pulled her back, the lieutenant putting her body between Vidaea and the threat. The lumen strip popped and went out. In that same instance, the deckhands attacked.